Now, back in 2007, red wasn't the only game in town when it came to protecting tropical forests. In Ecuador, President Rafael Correa sidestepped the bureaucracy of the UN negotiations to offer another way for the world to help protect part of the Amazon from development. Yasuni National Park in the eastern Ecuadorian Amazon is one of the most biologically diverse places on the planet. And it's not only a rich reservoir of tropical forest carbon, it also sits atop an enormous reservoir of fossilized carbon, oil. President Correa offered to keep the oil in the ground and not disturb the park if the international community chipped in to compensate his country for the sacrifice, something like a Kickstarter for conservation. But little money came in. So the president recently decided that his plan isn't working, and he gave the green light to begin oil exploration in what's called the ITT block of Ecuador's Yasuni National Park. Here to explain what's going on is Kelly Swing. He's director of the Tiputini Biodiversity Station in Yasuni National Park, and he told Living on Earth's Bobby Bascom why this park matters.
I tend to say that the reason Yasuni National Park is so special from a biological perspective is that there's just simply more species there than anywhere else. In a space the size of a football field, basically, we approach 600 species of trees, and in the U.S. and Canada combined, there's only about 560 species. If we look at that same kind of comparison for frogs, for example, 150 species in a space of a few square miles, only about 95 species in the U.S. and Canada combined, maybe as much as a million species of insects, plants, animals, everything altogether in the Yasuni National Park.
Wow, it sounds like a remarkable place.
Yeah, I've been working in eastern Ecuador since the early 1990s, so basically about 20 years right here in Yasuni, and there's always new things to see. I can go out in Yasuni and find something I've never seen before in 2 or 3 or 4 minutes, and it just goes on and on and on, even after all these years.
And I imagine then if they're new to you, they're probably new to science in general.
That's correct. If we talk about the insects in particular, it's been estimated that 80% of the insects have not been described by science. Several years ago, even a zoologist was able to recognize an undescribed species of plant, and it turned out to be actually a new genus of plant. But that should be a really good indication that we don't know much about this place, and there's a tremendous amount of biodiversity that needs to be cataloged and may actually represent very important values for science and maybe for pharmaceutical products and cures for cancer or AIDS or those kind of things.
So Yasuni is rich in biodiversity, but it's also rich in oil. How much oil is estimated to be in the ground under the park?
Yeah, the concession area that's called the ITT block has most of a billion barrels of oil under it.
Do you know what is the value of that oil? How much is it worth?
The estimated market value for the oil that could be taken out of the ITT block several years ago was estimated at a little over $7 billion, but now they're talking about a value of right around $18 billion.
So about 6 years ago, the president of Ecuador, Rafael Correa, came up with a plan to make money from the oil, but not extract it from the national park. Can you tell me about that?
Basically, the idea that was put forth in 2007 was something that was called the ITT initiative. And essentially, the proposal was that if the world would replace part of the profit that could be gained from extracting that oil, Ecuador would promise not to ever take that oil out of the ground, which would imply that the forest in that area would never suffer the impacts that would occur on the surface. So the idea was that the oil that's under the ITT block is worth $7.2 billion. And so if Ecuador could recover half that, $3.6 billion, over a period of 12 years, then the country of Ecuador would forego extracting that oil.
And so how did that work out?
The idea got a tremendous amount of positive attention early along, but then there's been lots of complications. In the end, Ecuador did get some promises of a few hundred million dollars over the last several years, but it's not a proportion that's significant enough for the plan to actually work. And that's why President Correa recently said, okay, I'm going to have to pull the plug on this. We need the money, and so we're going to have to go ahead and extract the oil.
So why do you suppose so little money actually came forward?
I think the big reason that the world didn't support this idea has to do with credibility. Latin American countries in general have a poor reputation as far as governmental stability is concerned. Ecuador has certainly had a period of instability.
And, I mean, there's no carbon credits to be had with this project either. I wonder if that might be a factor.
Yeah, one perspective about the Yesenia initiative from the international audience was that this seems a little bit too much like a hostage situation, basically an extortion situation. We have, you're holding this national park for ransom. So you say, okay, either you give us the several billion dollars or we're going to put the park at risk. Many countries felt very pressured and didn't want to buy into that kind of scenario.
So Ecuador, of course, is a developing country, and I'm sure billions of dollars in oil revenue is extremely tempting in terms of alleviating domestic poverty. But there are also a lot of foreign interests involved here as well. Can you tell me about that?
Well, some countries, specifically China, are really hungry for oil. Ecuador has certainly already sold oil futures to China and is indebted to China for billions of dollars already. So I can only imagine, you know, the level of pressure from the Chinese oil interest here in Ecuador, but they must be pretty powerful.
So without the needed money, the president has decided to go ahead with oil exploration in Yesenia. What does the public think about that?
Well, some polls that were done very recently, but not since this announcement was made, said that as much as 90% of Ecuadorian people want to leave the oil in the ground and they want to protect Yesenia.
I would imagine that this hits pretty close to home in Ecuador. I mean, they're still dealing with a court case going back to the 1990s in which Chevron is accused of spilling millions of barrels of oil in the Ecuadorian Amazon and not cleaning it up.
Yeah, Chevron bought Texaco several years, and the original complaint here in Ecuador is with Texaco, but as a parent company, Chevron's involved now. But essentially, Texaco was operating here from the 1970s up until the early 1990s, and during that time, there weren't nearly as many regulations and controls on operations, and so a lot of oil was spilled, you know, slopped around across the landscape. So, yeah, there's lots of historical oil impacts left over here, and many people have lived through that with direct experiences, and consequently, they're quite hesitant to say, well, just let them go ahead and extract oil in another pristine area.
So, Kelly Swing, what happens next? Is drilling for oil in the ITT block of the Yasuni National Park a done deal? Or is there any recourse for the public that's opposed to it?
Well, according to the Ecuadorian Constitution, this can be brought to a national vote. The way this works is that there has to be a petition for the government to actually call this to a vote. And the petition has to gather 600,000 signatures. At that point, you know, if it comes to a vote, we don't know which way it would go. I have a feeling that the government will do some pretty serious campaigning. And Ecuador's government is excellent at very polished propaganda. I have a feeling at present that we are going to see oil extraction in the ITT block in the relatively near future.
Mm-hmm. And another part of the Constitution of Ecuador says that nature actually has rights, you know, something akin to human rights. How does this decision then to drill for oil in the park, in this portion of the park, square with the Constitution?
That's a very good point. The rights of nature as defined in the Constitution are basically very similar to the rights of any person. You have the right to exist and to propagate and to reproduce and all those things. And those things are applied to nature here. Despite the fact that this language is available in the Constitution, it hasn't been tested very well. But I would tend to think that, you know, from the perspective of environmentalists, that this may be the time to just absolutely flood the courts with lawsuits.
Kelly Swing is director of the Tiputini Biodiversity Station in Yasuni National Park, Ecuador. Thanks for taking the time to talk with me.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity to spread the word.
Kelly Swing, the director of the Tiputini Biodiversity Station in Yasuni National Park, speaking with Living on Earth's Bobby Bascom. We leave you this week deep in the rainforest. A chorus of brilliant colored birds greets the dawn near Iguazu Falls, close to the border of Brazil and Argentina. There are over 100 bird species in the area, including toucans, mock-mots, woodpeckers, flycatchers, ant birds, and manakins. Dan Grossman and I recorded this dawn chorus when we visited the falls a few years ago. Living on Earth is produced by the World Media Foundation. Naomi Ehrenberg, Bobby Bascom, Emmett Fitzgerald, Helen Palmer, Ponce Rutsch, Aaron Weeks, Adelaide Chen, James Kerwood, Jennifer Marquis, and Gabriella Romano all helped to make our show. Jeff Turton is our technical director. Allison Lierstein composed our themes. You can find us anytime at loe.org and like us on our Facebook page. It's PRI's Living on Earth. And we tweet from @LivingOnEarth. I'm Steve Kerwood. Thanks for listening.
Funding for Living on Earth comes from the Grantham Foundation for the Protection of the Environment, supporting strategic communications and collaboration in solving the world's most pressing environmental problems. The Candida Fund, furthering the values that contribute to a healthy planet, and Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change. Living on Earth is also supported by a Friend of Red Tomato, supplier of righteous fruits and vegetables from Northeast Family Farms. www.redtomato.org. This is PRI, Public Radio International.
PRI, Public Radio International.